Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Terry.
You bet.
Appreciate you all joining us and spending your Thursday with us, your Friday Eve. Hopefully you're having a good one out there. We got some fun stuff to get to today. We're going to get into a little bit here. If you have a celebrity doppelganger, got that coming up. Also going to, people are sharing the things that they silently judge others for. So we're going to silently judge them for judging others. I don't know how that works.
We're not being silent.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's bad radio. We also got a couple of good stories of the day, including one about an 8-year-old girl who got to chat with orbiting astronauts using her dad's ham radio.
Super cool.
Yeah, that'll be kind of fun. I like that. I'm looking forward to getting into that one. I did want to kick things off as we are going to get into a little bit of entertainment news with a quote of the day. And we're going to kind of do these from time to time. I think doing one every day gets a little bit redundant, but here and there, I think they can be fun. And since it is the would have been Sean Connery's birthday, I thought, well, why not go to Mr. Connery, Sir Sean Connery here? And there's two of them that I liked from him, and I'm unable to decide. And since it would have been his birthday,
we could probably do both.
Yeah. So here's the first one I have for you. Some age, others mature. It's a good line. It's a good line.
It's okay. Very true. So, and you pictured someone, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like half my friends. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No.
As long as it wasn't the mirror.
Right, right. I probably could use a little bit loosening up. I probably need to lighten up a little bit. I probably should have done that reverse. I really, really love this one, though. And it's something that my dad and I have shared for years. Love may not make the world go round, but I must admit that it makes the ride worthwhile. It's a good one.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's good. That's good. And going from celebrity like him to this whole question, do you have a celebrity doppelganger? I would love to be able to say that Sean Connery is my celebrity doppelganger,
right?
But that is not the case. That is not at all the case. But I think this is a fun one. We were a lot of people were surprised. Not many people think they do. A new poll found just 15% of Americans think that there is a celebrity who looks oddly similar to them. Men were twice as likely as women to say yes. Only 9% of women said that they do, compared to 20% of guys.
Do you think if you use that, what is that Google app where you can take a picture of something and it identifies it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I just can't think of the name of it right now. So like I could just take a, you know, hold it up,
well,
open
the,
it up.
The
and
Google
then,
Lens, I think, is. Is
and then,
does
but
that.
I mean, but I wonder if it would, if you did that of yourself.
Yeah.
Would it tell you who you're, you know what I mean? Like
I
who
wonder.
Is your, who do you look like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who does it identify you with?
Right. Now,
because otherwise, how do you know?
Huh? Yeah, yeah. I will say this. I thought for years and years and years that I had no celebrity that looked anything like me. Kind of actually got in my head a little bit as an actor. You know, you don't see anybody that looks like you, and you're auditioning after audition after audition, and you're kind of like, well, wait a minute, maybe you know it's me. It's you know, that kind of thing. But then I had a great friend of mine who's known me his whole life, and I've known him his whole life. He texts me. He's like, did you get a break? What are you talking about? He's like, I just saw a commercial. It looked exactly like you, man. Like, where you had a hood on and all this. There's a TV show called Mr. Robot. And Rami Malek, who many people know is playing Freddie Mercury in the Bohemian Rhapsody back in the day. Well, it was him that he thought was me. And Rami Malek is way handsomer than I am, a heck of a lot handsomer than I am, and younger than I am, I believe. I don't know by how much, but definitely that. But that's the only time I've ever had anything like that happen to me. I've had some people tell me, and I don't even want to say this, I really don't, because I feel like it sounds self-aggrandizing, but I've had people tell me that I look a little bit like Robert Downey Jr. I've had a little of that, but I don't see any of that. Now, I was technically cast to play his oldest son in a movie, so I guess there is a little of that.
Well, so there's
there.
Resemblance, yeah.
But I would have never in a million, and even to this day, I mean, I think you can put a picture up of both of us and you don't see anything. That man is incredibly more handsome than I am. Like, there's a line in the sand there of me and then these guys. But that's as close as I got. I got nothing else other than that.
Yeah.
Maybe Gonzo. Maybe Gonzo the Muppet. Maybe a little of that. Maybe a little.
I don't know. His nose is quite a bit bigger.
He's got a bigger nose. He's got a bigger schnoz than me. Do you have any?
Not that I know of. I mean, not that I can think of.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be fun if there was some kind of database, right? Like, you know what I mean? That you could pop your picture up and then,
yeah,
and then it would just click through and find the most similar.
There's how do we not have an app for this already?
There has to be.
There's got to be.
We're just old and we don't know about it.
Literally, there's got to be like a billion apps for this by now.
You know, there's funny.
There's an app for everything.
On Snapchat, you know, there's that filter where it, like, if you're, it makes you look like you're male or female or a baby or a child. Have you seen that one? So when I was flipping through it, and the one that makes me look like a man looks exactly like someone that I know, like that lives in town here. Like, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I look just like Chris. And so I save, you know, I screenshot it, and then I pull up his picture. And then it was really funny, because then when I saw him, I'm like, okay, I have to show you this Snapchat thing. And we're just dying laughing because I literally look just like him with the Snapchat filter on.
There was one ages ago on Facebook where you take a picture of yourself and then it like matches it with an old painting or something like that.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. Like one of those game kind of things. But yeah, it would match up.
And there was one that matched me, and it looked really like very almost eerily kind of like it was a Van Gogh painting. And I can't remember what it was now, but that was an interesting one. So the question was asked because of a study that this week that found strangers who look alike tend to have similar DNA, maybe similar personalities, too. 58% of people in the poll agreed that they probably have a doppelganger somewhere in the world who looks almost identical to them. And whether it was a celeb or not, almost half of us have been told we have a doppelganger before. Oh, you look just like, or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, you think about that. This isn't the visual, the physical features, but have you ever just like, if you Google your name or like go on social media and put your name in, and how many pop up, and it's like, wait a minute, what? And especially, I mean, for me, both first and last name are spelled a little bit uniquely. Mm. So then it's like, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah. I was in the same boat, and this is ages ago, you know, early days of search engines and everything. And you hear, oh, search your name. And so you search your name. And I'm thinking, well, Maloff, it's not common. It's not a very common name. You see it a little bit here in the States, but not too much. I didn't think of, and I didn't know it until after the search, of how huge. I wouldn't say Maloff is like the Smith of Egypt, but it's up there. It's like one of the more, it's like a Johnson or a Jackson or something. Like, there's a lot of Maloffs in Egypt. Like, I had no idea. Like, so by the law of averages, there's quite a few James Maloffs in Egypt. And some of them spell it differently, like with two O's instead of a UF at the end. But for the most part, it's pretty much spelled the same. And I actually felt the kind of kinship to that. Like, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I didn't have any interest in emailing those people or anything like that. I didn't take it too far. But I did think it was kind of cool.
You should ask for their picture. See if they look like you.
Yeah, I wonder. And I do genuinely think, especially, let's be honest here. Let's include this to include people that are no longer with us. I mean, there's been billions and billions and billions of people. At a certain point, you almost think that it's got to kind of, the law of averages again, you're going to run into somebody
that is
looks.
True. They're probably what they say, whoever they are, that everyone has one is probably true.
Which, again, I think only brings us closer together, only makes us more connected. And in the fact that, you know, I'm not the only one that there's a lot, especially in this area where you've got a lot of the Polish population. I guarantee that you look into a Polish last name and it's probably connects right to Poland. And seeing that connection, I think, is kind of cool, too. And it shows how connected we are.
What if that was like your mission? Your main mission was to find your twin.
Oh, that would be interesting. That might actually make a decent like a movie. I feel like it would be turned into a reality show.
I was going to say a movie, fine, but not reality.
No. I just don't have any interest in reality TV. But as I'm saying this out loud, I have no doubt that a producer is turning that into a show.
Probably
right now.
So.
Yeah. This next one takes us to the Good News Network, and just another one of those ones that I think are fun. You can go ahead and check out this entire article at goodnewsnetwork.org. Some old tech was able to make a new connection for a little English girl who got to speak with an orbiting astronaut after her dad hailed him on a ham radio. It was August 2nd when Isabel Payne had just settled down for her beauty sleep, quote-unquote beauty sleep. But her father, Matthew, knew that since they shared a passion for space and radio communications, a brief opportunity to hail American astronaut Kjell Lindgren was not to be missed. Dragging Isabel out of bed, the pair ran to the radio bench. And aboard the International Space Station, a ham radio station is maintained so that astronauts can occasionally talk with people on the ground, usually schools through classic radio and that kind of thing. Some exchanges are typically brief, with operators giving over the radio's unique call sign a name and location, a thank you, and a goodbye. However, when Lindgren, who just happened to be passing over the Kent that night, heard Isabel's name and age, his voice changed from routine to joyful. The astronaut took to Twitter and said it might have been his favorite contact so far.
Very cool.
Just by chance.
Is it that sweet? And now just think about that for her whole life. I mean, she, you know what right. I mean? Like, right. I talked with an astronaut while they were in space. Not just talk to him, but... That's really cool.
My little brother took my nephew Mason to a Brewer game, and I think it was a Brewer game. I know that the Brewers were playing, and they happened to be right in the, I believe, right field where Christian Yelich was. And, you know, like a lot of ball players, they throw a baseball to a kid or whatever.
Sure.
And he threw one to my nephew Mason. And I don't believe that Christian Yelich knows this now, but he is an official mail-off. Like, he's got mail-off on him now. He can come to our family reunions and stuff because he's just in. Like, he's that, you know, one in Mason loves sports, likes it and everything. It changed once he got that baseball. Like, the kids.
The bar has been raised. Yes.
And, I mean, and that's something as simple as that that happens all the time. I can't imagine, to your point,
that
I can't
is so
imagine
cool.
what this little girl.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't make her want to be an astronaut, but who knows where it takes her? Who knows where that imagination in this moment, her father taking the time to do this.
Think it was hard to get her to take her nap the next day?
probably. It's probably hard to get her to fall asleep after this. I can't imagine her falling asleep right away after this. Isabel shares her father's passion for space and radio and watches every launch and spacewalk from her usual position on his knee at the radio desk.
Very cool.
That's a cool story right there. I like that. We'll take a quick commercial break, come back with some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. People 4. And this could be an interesting one, I think. Especially considering where we kind of started the show today and everything. It's kind of coming full circle, sort of. Littering or putting their dog's waste in a bag and then leaving that somewhere.
Guilty.
Which makes you wonder why they even bagged it in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
But littering, I mean, we are so over that. When we were kids, remember you used to see litter all over.
Yeah.
Or you'd even, I mean, yeah, I can say I was in a car with people when I was little, and you just throw stuff, you just threw it out the window.
Yep, I remember
that. And that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you check something out your window in front of me, right or wrong, I am silently judging you.
Absolutely. And I am extremely, I'm not even silently judging people that do this with a dog baggie. Like, I by my parents' house, there's a great path, and it's where I take Sam all the time. And there are these gray bags just spotting throughout. And what? Why do you take the time to put the dog junk in a bag and then you don't take it with
because,
you?
Because honestly, you're probably better off leaving it not in the bag if you're going to leave it. I'm not saying people should leave it. You should pick it up. But if you can't clean up after your dog, putting it in a bag and leaving it sit doesn't...
It's not like those bags are biodegradable or something. So you're making it worse. Yeah, at least... on its own, it can be fertilizer at the very least.
Yeah.
And again, you should pick up you shouldn't have a dog if you can't pick up after them. I'm sorry if that's cold, but it's the
truth of
the matter.
Sounds very judgy.
It does. I'm owning it. I'm being completely honest about this. It was a very important thing to my mom and dad that we were not judgmental people. And I really value that in myself and that they taught us that and to treat people like that. But I'm not perfect. I'm not at all going to pretend I'm not like I don't have some things. And this is a big one. That's probably the biggest one to me. I didn't look at this whole list, but I'm going to guess it probably is. When people leave an empty cup or the other trash on a shelf in a store, or when people leave their trash on the table at fast food places and don't pick them up. Yeah. Yeah.
It's because you know what? I can't think of any explanation other than lazy.
Yep. Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And if you can carry a soda cup around in the store and and you can, and then you set it down to leave it when it's empty. If you were carrying it around that whole time, you clearly can carry it. And you don't have a physical. I struggle with that.
I'm really trying hard here to like play, you know, the other side of this and see, you know, look, be empathetic and put myself in. I can't do it. I'm with you. There's no reason why you can't.
Well, clean up after yourself.
Just clean up after. Yeah. It's not hard. When people poke fun of other people's appearances or clothes. Oh, boy.
Oh, when you're like if you were making fun of someone, then I'm judging you for doing that.
Did you see so-and-so with the hot pink polka dot shirt today? You know, that kind of thing.
But
that's people watching. And almost every single person on the planet does that in some way or another.
Yeah, and it depends what you do. But
how
is it
mean you are with
but
it,
is
too,
it then, if I'm telling you, hey, knock it off, you know, or something like that, is, I don't know. Or if I'm thinking that in my head, like, oh, James, you really shouldn't do that.
It's kind of judging on judging.
But then,
it's
I don't know, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Leaving the bathroom without washing their hands. Yep. Yep. Guilty again. Just no.
I agree.
Again, no reason in the world. Oh, but I was in a hurry. I don't care.
There's a lot of other things you can cut out.
I'd rather you be late than dirty.
And shaking my hand.
Yeah. Parents who swear at their kids in public. I haven't seen a lot of that, to be honest with you, but I imagine that if it was happening in front of me, I probably would judge it, to be honest. I wouldn't say judging them as a parent. I wouldn't say that's a bad parent in my head. I would probably say, oh, those aren't probably words that you want to be saying in front of that kid unless you want them saying them back at you.
So I just literally last weekend just witnessed this in a major way because I was... My daughter was running, out for a run. And so she didn't want to run at her normal spot. So we drove somewhere and parked. So I was sitting reading, right? So I'm just kind of like off to the side. Yeah. And this, oh my gosh, this man was like going off on his little kid. Now the little kid had wandered off, and I'm just sitting there. And part of me is like, it was all kinds of things. Like I'm judging him for the things he was saying. Cause I'm like, you should not talk to that child like that. Mm-hmm. And in my head, and then I'm also judging them for, I'm like, why the heck weren't you watching them? But we've all had a kid get away from us, so that's not fair, right, but I'm just being honest. And then the other part of me is like just internally just like laughing because, I mean, I wasn't laughing at all, but I was just sitting there like, this has happened to all of us, right? Yeah, like every one of us has carried a screaming kid out of a store had to, you know what I mean? Like it's just that snapshot in time. But I think it's hard to not let your mind go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you can rule without an iron fist. My mom and dad never had to lift a finger as far as like punishing me or correcting me or something like that. It was their tone. It was my mother's guilt. I'm joking about that part, but honestly, it was their tone. It was the way that they spoke to me. And the way they treated me was always, you know, and I'm not at all saying my parents were the perfect parents or anything like that, but they swore quite a bit in front of us. They had a number of those things, and I don't think that that's necessary. That's not something I did with my kids, but I did swear in front of my kids from time to time. I say my brother, my sister, and I, all of us, we rarely swear in front of my mom and dad out of respect. It's not like they don't know we don't swear. It's just one of those things where it's a respect thing. There's certain words I won't say in front of my mom because those are deal breakers for her. I know about that. I think you can rule without an iron fist. I do think, though, that there is a line in the sand because it took me a little bit of learning to realize I can't always be the good guy. Sometimes if you want to be, it's not about your kid liking you. Like, we all want our kids to like us. That's cool. That's great. But that's not the job. The job is to raise them so that they can go out and fly out the nest on their own, that they can be great adults. They can contribute to society, all this stuff. It's not for them to, you know, for on your Facebook list, you to be your top friend or something. I would love if that could happen. If you could have both, that'd be great.
But I do think there's a lot of kids that hear a lot of language that they just really shouldn't. Called things
that
versus you know what I mean versus not what the H are you doing right like you know swearing like that but actually like demeaning and degrading them with what they're being called you know I and honestly when I hear that I do judge that.
Like, nobody is ever going to give me a Father of the Year mug or anything like that. But I will be the first to say that silently, completely judging. If you are insulting your children, if you are talking down to them all the time, if you are, you know,
degrading them,
I mean, in any form. There's literally no scenario where that's okay, where that's kosher. You're supposed to be that kid's biggest fan. You're supposed to be their biggest support system when the whole world ain't got their back. How many times have we seen this? A person is up for life in prison because they murdered some people or something like that, and their parent is up there, and their parent is not condoning what they did, but they're still supporting their kid. Like, those parents are still supporting their kid. Who are you to be talking down to your kid, to be treating them like trash? No parent should ever do that.
And so,
you're not a parent. You're not a parent if you're doing
when
that.
When you hear that in public, though, it is hard to not let your mind go there.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of hard to bite your tongue.
Yeah, absolutely. another one on this list, being nasty to service workers.
Yeah. I'm on that one, too.
Yep.
Because when I see that, that really bothers me.
Again, it is. I understand that the gas prices are high. The clerk has no control over that. Going in the store and yelling at the clerk about the gas prices does not do you or the clerk any good.
Or like a waitress or, you know, whatever it might, waiter, waitress. But it's,
hey, my food got here slow. Did you think of why it did? Did you think maybe she's over or he is overworked?
And it's,
put yourself in their shoes. Unless you are perfect. If that's the case, if you are perfect and have never done anything wrong, then please forget everything I've said.
And empathy just isn't really something that's taught very well.
No, and it needs to be.
Yeah.
It needs to be. I don't know. I won't pretend to have the answer of how you do that, but it definitely does.
Yeah.
One person said, when people hype themselves up too much, saying things like, that wouldn't fly with me, or everyone knows not to mess with me.
Or I'm really great.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
There are some people, though, that you're just like, whoa, he really likes himself. You know what I mean? Like, you can just feel the vibe.
There are certain people that will go out of their way to give themselves credit or to throw that, well, you know, I actually did that. Or you know, well, I did that, even though it has nothing to do with the conversation. And I've always been of the mind, let others brag for you. Like, if you are in a situation where they're just not seeing what you're worth, then yes, you got to step up for yourself and let that whoever that person is know. Let them know. But otherwise, let others do the talking for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way for me, that's the approach I have always taken. I can't think of many, even if you are, if you're the most talented person in the world and you're in front of me, if you're telling me you're the most talented person in the world, you immediately like kind of go down a notch or two for me. Like, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how talented you are.
Show me, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Let your actions back that up. You shouldn't need to brag. Your actions should do it for you, or let others do it for you. And another said, people who are just super judgy, they always have something negative to say about someone. So the judging.
Yeah.
Which is one of those ones that I think I actually have done. I wouldn't say judging judgers, more so the overly negative person, which, to be fair, I think I might have been when I was young.
And
I don't know for sure, but I think I might have been like that when I was young. So maybe now as an adult, it bugs me.
They can be exhausting.
Oh, incredibly.
You know what I mean?
Incredibly.
And it depends how close you are to them, right? Because I mean, I know I've said that where I'm like, quit being so judgy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you just kind of throw it out there. And maybe because it just de-escalates, you know, it like settles, defers the situation, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure. I do know that we got Melissa's news to go to, so we're going to do that roughly off one of these days. I'm going to try. I got a script all written.
Listen, don't quit your day job.
No, probably not. Probably shouldn't. I asked this question earlier in the week, and we're going to kind of bring this up with different guests from time to time. And I wanted to bring this up with you and then Katrina tomorrow, because especially you guys have kids in school and everything. This huge debate going online about what color folder should go with what subject.
Oh.
This is a big, over 10,000 people have responded on this, and they're continuing. Just looking this morning, even people are still continuing to add to this conversation, this feed that's going on. The most popular responses, so it was basically, here are the colors, blue, red, yellow, and green, and the subjects, math, science, English, and history.
Yep. Yellow is English.
Yellow is English.
For me.
For you. Okay. All right.
Red is math. Green is science. Blue is social studies.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really how a lot of people have had this too. I mean, it's
that's how I would do it.
Yeah, and it, like for the most popular responses, math is red, science is green, English is blue, history is yellow.
Oh, okay, so I had those two change, but, I don't know. For me, language arts is yellow.
It's so funny to me. Almost every single person, I can't think of one person that has not said math is red. That's the. I think probably the second closest is science being green. But I don't know. I think you could pull a lot of reasoning for that. But I just kind of find it's interesting. I just think that's kind of funny to me. I mean, even people like my dad likes math. My dad is very good at math. And even he said red. I'm like, well, yeah. Okay, so it's not. It isn't just that we associate red with negative, you know, necessarily.
I love math, so that's not where I am.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, interesting. Yeah, my dad's the same way. Yeah. He loves math, but he didn't think of that. There's just something about, for some reason, red we associate with math, I guess. It's kind of cool. I wonder if that, now, like, were your kids, did that, would they do the same thing? You think they would answer
the
same way?
Well, I think they would answer the same as the way that I did, because they've been doing that, like, in our schools, in the public schools, they've been doing that for quite a long time. Mm. Like, the kids aren't supposed to have... a fancy fold, like a decorative folder, you know, like nothing with puppies and kitties and horses and stuff. You're solid colors. And so then all the kids will have the same color folder for that subject. And so I think that's why I rattled those off, because that's what we've been using. You know, my kids have been using.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I guess I understand why that they are not able to use certain like colors or whatever, but it kind of makes me want to push the envelope a little bit on this.
Well, back in the day, I can remember going and picking out, you know what I mean? Like they had your favorite character on them or they had whatever. And then that's what you used. They would just say, get out your math folder. Right. And you would get out your math folder. Honestly, especially in the secondary, so middle and high school, they're using their folder some, but I mean, they're doing the bulk of their work is being done on their Chromebook. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they're really just not even, you know, they're not using full notebooks or full folders or anything, but elementary and maybe early middle school, I would say they're definitely still using those color coded kind of models.
Kind of get it. I kind of see why now that it's kind of laid out in front of me here and everything. It kind of makes sense to me. I just would not have. I don't think I would have figured that right out the gate.
Well, yeah, yours probably would all have been black.
Probably. And gray. And maybe an orange one or two. Maybe
right,
no,
right. But my bad.
You so got me on that one. I got nothing. I had no
like black notebooks and black folders. Yeah.
Oh, darn it.
Then you write on them in pencil. So you.
The day. In part one, we'll welcome in our friends from Family Natural Foods. Stephen and Katrina Hittner are going to join us. Looking forward to that.
I hope they bring you something really yummy to taste.
Knowing them, they probably will. And in part two, Jasmine's going to join us. She is the 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon of Wood Counties. Going to talk with Jasmine about all things really 4-H related.
Cool.
That should be a good one. And as you mentioned earlier today, of course, the Central Wisconsin State Fair going on. So plenty to talk about there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably all of the kids... the 4-H stuff is done, because then they switch over to open class that anybody can enter. So I'm sure she'll have some, or hoping she has some, you know, good stuff to share with how kids did.
I talk about this all the time. One of the things that just blew me away early on in our friendship, Terry, and working with you here at the station was that you would just be able to pull all these numbers and things off the top of your head, and I didn't know how you did it, and it's just amazing to me how you still can. You were doing it this morning, you know? So I don't want to do that, throw you a curveball here, but I did just get the press release from the United Way while we were talking, and I thought this would be fun to dive into.
Yeah, it's not really fair when my team emails out something while I'm here.
Yeah,
for you to, I mean, I did see it, but I don't know if I'm going to recite numbers
right,
to you.
Right, right, yeah.
But we did, with Stuff the Best, serve almost 1,000 kits. So we had a little over 1,000 registered. Wow.
That's pretty cool. Woo! That's great.
So, but we did serve nearly 1,000 kids, and that's through the tremendous effort of many, many, many volunteers, the Stuff the Bus committee, organizers, you know, Ben and Amy on our team. But it is no small feat. We had high schoolers and sports teams and clubs volunteer. We had general, you know, members of the public volunteer. But last Thursday, all of these backpacks got packed, and they get packed by grade. You know what I mean? So it's like we have so many third grade ones and so many eighth grade ones and that kind of thing. So it's not just a general clear packing of everything the same, right? Elementary kids get different than the older kids. So that happened last Thursday, and then last Friday afternoon and Saturday morning was the distribution. And so people would, it was a drive-through kind of distribution. But by the end of, you know, Saturday morning, late Saturday morning, just under 1,000 backpacks had been given out.
Melissa and I both have a mutual friend that was able to do that Saturday morning. And she just could not talk highly enough about the efficiency of it and how quickly it took her like 5-10 minutes and she was in and out. It was just so smooth, the transition, how it went.
And then, you know, speaking of logistics, so we were at East Junior High because of the construction at Lincoln High School. Typically we've been at Lincoln, so that's a little bit of a change. Yeah. No big deal. Roll with it. But then the YMCA had their bridge-to-bridge run, so they had actually a section of Lincoln Street closed, which we didn't necessarily know was going to happen. Wow. And that's how we were directing traffic, was to come down Lincoln Street instead of, like, backing up A Street. You know what I mean? It just would make more sense to kind of cover all that way. So, so you know, but of course, everyone was very nimble and just figured it out, right? Like, it worked out. But it seemed to be, they said, you know, Saturday kind of started out more in little bursts of people versus a steady line, because I think people were trying to find their way. But you know what? Even that said, right, you just work through the hiccups, and you know, the run was successful. Our distribution was successful.
It ties together even because you mentioned that you guys were able to serve all these kids, help all these kids, record number amount of kids because of the awesome community. The community also adapted into even picking up the supplies.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
We're pretty adaptable. I think a lot more than a lot of people might realize.
Yeah. So it's, you know, hats off to everyone involved because they did a tremendous job. The backpacks that are left, because of course we had some people register that didn't show up, you know, whatever reason. They might have registered in May and they moved, or, you know, I mean, there's different reasons, but the backpacks that are already packed that are left, a supply gets to each school district. And so then, you know, we just, because of course we had some people call on Monday and say, you know, I'm really sorry, but I missed it. You know, whatever happened, whatever my circumstances were, I missed it. So now we just direct them to their school. So whatever school their child will be attending, and then that school has access to get them a backpack. So they'll still get it. It's just, you know, whatever prevented them from being there. So, you know, I fully expect that we will still probably give out another, you know, 40 to 50 backpacks.
My kids are grown. You know, if they're in school, it's taking college courses or something like that. And this may not have any, like, direct tie to me, but I do have kids that I care about in, you know, Rapids Public Schools and everything. And that certainly matters to me. But also, and again, I don't mean to keep throwing this crazy stat in front of everybody here or anything, but it turns out, Terry, that children are the future. Kids are the future. So this affects literally everybody, and everybody coming together to do these kind of things. It's cool to us, and I appreciate the shout outs that you give to all the volunteers, to your fellow staff, I hope to yourself, and we do. But this is one of those things where I got to think that the kids are so much more appreciative than you. I can imagine, because I was one of those kids, but I don't think ever, and hopefully not a lot of you can relate to that. I hope a lot of you didn't experience that. But I can tell you, this has a major, major impact on them. It isn't just the supplies themselves. It's seeing a community come together to get these supplies. They learn from us. Their brains are sponges. They're not just saying, oh, I got school supplies, which is great. That'd be good in itself. But it's the added layer that they're also seeing a community come together and be like, wow. Like when, for me, I see my mom and dad struggle with getting school supplies. My nan and papa help out a little bit. And I have this appreciation to all four of them for that, even though I didn't have all the supplies that like my fellow students sitting next to me did. Well, it's no different for these kids. They see, wow, I got school supplies and I'm like everybody else. And it's thanks to this community.
Well, it's thanks just to what we were talking about earlier, right? Like the red notebook and folder for math. Well, that's part of the beauty of this is we make sure they all have the red folder and notebook for math. They don't have the, you know, whatever, the black set.
Right.
But you know what I mean? But that's the goal. And of course, sometimes we can't meet every single goal that we set, but that is our goal, is to make sure that every kid has what they need and they can start the school year off on the same level playing field with everyone else.
Looking at some of the 2022 statistics here, of the students served, 95% qualified for free or reduced school meals. Over 90 volunteers lent a hand during collection, setup, pre-packaging, and distribution. A sampling of some of the items collected during Stuff the Bus include 343 backpacks, 352 colored pencils, 412 crayons, 1,964 folders, 1,000 glue sticks, 1,035 notebooks, 315 scissors, 67 watercolors, 121 rulers, and just to mark everything, 384 markers.
And so, though, then sometimes that begs the question. So, like you said, okay, so we had 412 crayons. That's boxes of crayons, by the way, not individual. We do not count individual. Yes, yes. But so, though, there were, you know, we gave out backpacks to, 800 elementary age kids. So what about the difference? And so that's where monetary donations come in, because we partner with Walmart, and we will inventory, and we will say to them, we need to order 300 boxes of crayons. And they, between Stuff the Desk, which this year was August 4th, and the packing day on August 18th, so that's only 2 weeks, they make sure they get us what we need for the difference. And so that's where, that's, you know, the key to the monetary donations is that, or I think it said there were like 60-some watercolors, 67 watercolors.
Yeah.
Well, we probably needed 400.
Yeah.
So we, you know, so we ordered the difference based on the monetary donations received.
And it's I encourage people to sign up for the press release to be able to get this kind of information right to your email box. It's really also adds to the volunteering part of things. I think that a lot of us like to volunteer just out of volunteering need and want and what is in our heart. But when you see these kind of numbers, when you see this kind of stuff backing up the volunteering you put in, it's a little more, I don't want to say incentive, a little more encouragement, a little more like support towards that time of volunteering.
Kind of a value add, right? Like you just are like it and validates like, oh yeah, look at what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And that's important.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good feeling. It's a good thing. We need more of that in life. And we're going to try to spread some of that with some good stories of the day, including one that we just started with right there. A 17-year-old named Mac Rutherford, was landed in Bulgaria and became the youngest person to fly solo around the world. He did it a bit by bit over 5 months. When he got his pilot license in 2020 at 15, he was the youngest pilot in the world.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Again, what we were talking about with that young lady earlier in the show and stuff, being that one kid that could say that, like that's a pretty big bag of bragging rights.
You know, that is really cool that he did that and all the way around the world. But my visual when I hear solo flight around the world, like I'm like, it's like I know it's not possible, but it's like a one time. You know what I mean? Like you take off and then you don't land till you're back. Well, of course you would need fuel, but you know what I mean? Like I'm like, when you said over 5 months, I'm like, wait a minute, what? But it is.
Does that still count?
It does still really cool.
And I almost guarantee you that a parent was with him. Like we have a hard time letting our kids at like go to the neighbor's house next door or anything like that. I can't imagine letting your 15-year-old fly like across country or something.
It's kind of like when you let them get in the car the first time by themselves, you know.
You usually do it within the passenger seat. Like I couldn't imagine letting them go. Oh, sure, we could do this, but I'm coming with. I hope you got room for two on that flight. A 22-year-old in North Carolina needed quarters to do laundry, so he went to a convenience store. Bought a $5 lottery ticket and won $250,000. Like that's a good story for them.
Wait a minute, where did the needing quarters come into this?
Well, he went to get change. He used
and then
the
bought the lottery ticket while he was there.
To get change.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, I you know,
got
some
it.
People buy like Tic Tacs or a lighter or something.
All right.
He bought a lottery ticket and boom, there you go.
There you go.
There's luck, and then there is that kind of thing that happens. There's been a bunch of stories of people like that have won the lottery and then winning it again like a month later or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's always kind of weird, isn't
it?
It's like they got some insider information or what?
It does make you wonder. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but it does make you wonder. It really does. A Pennsylvania man's emotional support alligator is in the running for a contest called America's Favorite Pet. His name is Wally Gator.
Oh,
let that just sit there for a second. He's so tame, you can pick him up and hug him.
Really?
Yeah. It's an alligator that I've seen this before.
Does he have that whole rubber band thing around
I believe so. Especially like if you see pictures of little kids, like, yes, absolutely. Like it's all locked up and everything. And this alligator has been so domesticated. Like I I kind of feel like this. It's almost like this alligator has forgotten that it's an alligator.
Well, probably it thinks it's a cat.
Maybe.
The, you know, like I think of the Big Bad Wolf, right? Like, sweet little granny, and then.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be comfortable necessarily letting my kid pet it, but I would pet it.
I think I would let them, if their jaw was clamped shut, I would let them touch it. But I don't know about the hugging.
It might be a bridge too far. Might be, yes. Remember the Miracle on the Hudson plane that crash landed in the Hudson River back in 2009?
Did you watch that movie?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie, yeah. Great work by Hanks, as always. Although I've heard some like bad stuff about this new role, though. Like the Elvis biopic.
Oh, really?
I heard that the young kid that plays Elvis did a great job. Maybe hammed it a little bit, but I mean, it's Elvis. And I don't mean that in a mean way. Yeah. I mean, that was just Elvis's MO. That was kind of, you know, who he was. But apparently, as Tom Hanks is the Colonel, like, it's the first time in his career I've heard people like being like, yeah, it's not good. Like, he did not do well in this. Huh? It's the only time I've ever heard that. I'm not talking about like critics. I mean, friends of mine and people I know in the industry that have seen the movie.
Word travels, right?
Yeah. It's just, I haven't seen it myself yet. So I don't know that one.
I don't remember what it's called, but the movie for this plane landing. Yeah. That was good.
That was a really good one. Yeah. And I think a lot of it stems from the great, like that they had so many of the real people there.
Sure.
And one of the people, one of the passengers just returned to the river to raise money for a good cause. His name is Dave Sanderson, and he helped make sure everyone on the plane got out. Earlier this month, he joined some former Navy SEALs and swam 3.1 miles to raise money for a veterans charity called the GI Go Fund.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Also, a cool name for that fund. I like the name of the fund, too. But, man, we appreciate you doing that, sir.
Yeah.
Dave Sanderson, there's a hero right there. That is a cool, good story. This next one is just, I think, a cool, interesting story. Even though the English government recently announced a ban on garden hose watering in the west of the country, Peter Hardner has kept right on hosing worry-free. That's because Harden has been storing rainwater in a large catch thanks for almost 50 years. And with 6,000 liters of water available to him, his paddock is the greenest on the block.
I bet.
An 82-year-old retired teacher, Peter Hardin, has lived in his bungalow for 52 years and said he installed his first rainwater catch tanks after a famous English drought back in 1976.
Interesting.
The keen gardener noticed droughts in the UK were getting more intense and became inspired to take precautions by he and his wife's holidays in Europe. By the way, Melissa and I have had this conversation. I think the one thing we should pick up from our English
taking
friends,
holidays in Europe.
Taking holiday. Well, in Europe, sure. But I love the idea. Like, vacation sounds okay. I love that. I'm going on holiday.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. I like that.
I remember the first time I heard that, and I didn't even know what it like, what? Yeah, like, yeah. What, I didn't even know what they meant.
Well, it's like the one English thing I want to take. Like, that's it. Like, you can keep the metric system, but I want to take that. Like, like a typical
going
American.
Going on holiday.
It just sounds nice. Quote, our holidays abroad in Europe over 50 years frequently included cultural visits to ancient Greek and Roman towns. We were always impressed by the huge number of domestic underground cisterns that the Romans had, like their, you know, their aqueduct and all those things.
Sure.
It is kind of cool, and it's an old technique, but it's still got its modern uses.
I do see those where people have them, you know, their downspout will flow into them or that kind of thing, but it sounds like I suppose for that many years he's been doing it.
Yeah.
He has an underground cistern. That's pretty cool, elaborate.
Yeah, it really is. We want to encourage you again to go to uwswac.org and help the United Way celebrate their 80th birthday. Fill out that 80th birthday challenge form and keep up to date on all the great things going on over there. Terry, can't thank you enough for putting up with me for another show. Thanks, you. You have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll talk to you guys in just a moment with Morning Magazine right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.